Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting. Hello, welcome to the Mac Show.
Hi.
Hello.
Howdy.
We have got a first here. The voice that you can hear that sounds like it's godlike and in the background and isn't really here is Carl Swaggers, because he is here because God knows how, but we've got 6 Skype lines running. We're going to have a mega show, all 6 of us together, all talking over the top of each other.
Hmm.
But the problem is I can't fit Kyle on the 5-way thing because I haven't got a 6-way thing. So
I'm trying to lose weight next time we can.
Yeah, okay. So Kyle's here, I promise, and he's going to be on screen. He can do the full view, but I can't put him on the multi-view, so there you go. We're here to discuss the week's Macintosh news. Fantastic, enormous, huge panel. Starting off, top left, Osman himself. Crocodile Duncavan. Don McAllister, how you doing, mate?
I'm okay. I'm back to normal now, over my jet lag, so it's back into the swing.
In the swing and producing 3 shows I saw today.
I've done my usual 2, and then I've got another one in the can for next week. So I'm trying to get ahead of myself for Christmas so I can take some time off for Christmas.
Mr. Giveaway.
Well, the free show. Yeah, I did one on Fantastical for iPhone, so you can go across and just download that. That's a full free one.
Good man. Thank you very much. Will do. Next to him, all the way from California, bright and early in the morning, Adam Christensen from the MacCast. How you doing, bud?
Good. How you doing?
Yeah, we haven't seen you for a while.
We've been scheduling
up.
Things. And yeah,
it's very kind of you to say we've had scheduling things. It's been me.
No, it's been me, I think.
Well, no, the cock-up was mine when we moved it, and then I didn't tell you that Kelly was hosting that one day, and I'm useless.
Yeah, we're good.
We're good. Fine. We're back on the horse.
We're here now.
Talking to Kelly, beneath Adam. Kelly Grammont, how you doing, girl?
Hey, everybody.
Good job you spoke and didn't just wave on the audio podcast. how was Disney?
It was awesome. It was even more awesome because I'm from the western side of Oregon where it rains often.
Right.
And apparently that's foreign to people in Southern California. So it was great because it would rain and we just didn't care. And it would like freak out everybody else. So we would just find the long outside queue lines and walk right on. It's fantastic.
So it was all those kids walking around going, Mom, Mom, look at her. She's got web feet.
You couldn't see them. I had them in shoes.
Okay. The webbed hands, not so much.
Yeah.
Next, Kelly, Will Green, British Mac. Hi, how you doing, bud?
I'm very well. Thank you very much.
Excellent. Still on for the old Christmas bash on the 15th?
Absolutely, yes. Yes. Looking forward to it. Lots of nice people coming.
At the moment, my work hasn't been confirmed.
Oh,
so
goody.
I'm looking good for it.
Brilliant.
Whether I'll agree with you when I'm frozen in the back of my van, I don't know, but...
I learned where the studio is officially the coldest and windiest part of Shropshire, which is strange, isn't it?
Does that depend on the number of curries and how volatile they were?
It's genuine. It's something to do with the northern route or something. There's no hills and stuff between here and where Don, basically.
It's the northern route out of the back passage. That's where Will's studio is.
Don sends all his cold weather down. And the area is called Wyke, which is apparently Saxon for windy.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. So it was even windy in Saxon times.
It certainly was.
Good to know. Sans curry. DHM in the middle.
That's me.
How you doing, bud? You fixed much this week?
Loads. Been very busy, yes.
Did you get through to Microsoft in the end?
Jeez. Hey, even... 30 minutes, 5 different departments, all the wrong ones. Finally, I get through to the online store department, and the woman goes, can I take your phone number in case we get disconnected? So, yeah, certainly. It's 01282. Disconnected. Oh, my God. You know what? We should just pirate the damn stuff. It would be much easier on everyone.
The views expressed by Dr. Happymack on this show are not necessarily those of the network as a whole. And any police inquiries should be sent to 0125.
Yes, we should still pirate the stuff.
Shh,
It's a Mac application. You migrate from one Mac to another. You migrate.
Incitement to promote piracy. That's a new offence in the British Constitution, and you're going to get rogered for that, mate. Absolutely rividly.
You shouldn't pirate it. You shouldn't pirate it at all. You should just get very, very cross with it.
Dr. Happy Pirate, there we go.
Yeah.
See that. Chat room, well done.
But I've also been, yeah, I also found the first and only time I've seen an actual live Mac with the flashback virus on it, which was interesting.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Got that. Picked that up.
And so what, did it just take the person's credit card details and that's it, or?
No, it just screws with all the text on the screen. You get little random sort of alphanumeric things instead of all the finder bits and bobs like that. So, yeah, interesting. One has to wonder where they picked it up from. But
Bad Tinnitus in the chat room says, my beard looks like Dave Lee Travis, which, given the current investigations, isn't good.
That's right. Could be what's his name? Stuart Hall. You could look more like
him. Oh, no. Moving on.
No, you've got the Paul Hollywood look going on there, I think.
Paul Hollywood? Who's that?
From the Great British Bake Off.
Oh, really? Someone said I look like someone off CSI as well. I've never watched CSI, so I don't know.
Oh, I could see that, yeah.
Yeah.
But who? Find a picture, Kelly.
The guy that used to be on.
I can't Grissom. Google that, though, can I?
Grissom.
Yeah, you can.
Grissom.
Well, you could. The guy that used to be on CSI, so here you go.
I'll find a picture.
Give me a nice little link.
And the
yeah, he's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Okay. And the last man who said Grissom there was Kyle. How you doing, pal?
There you go.
Yeah, I'm well. How are you?
You must be not sleeping at nights because your iPhone 5 has got another week in transit.
I have a feeling they're already in the country. They're just releasing it here on the 14th because that's what Apple said. So yeah, I'm like a kid on Christmas. I just can't wait, and I have a feeling the wife will still make me wait another 10 days after that. Hopefully not, though.
I look nothing like Grissom. He looks a right cock.
Oh, what?
I don't look anything like that. As in chicken, mate. I don't look anything like him.
Now that Paul Hollywood,
I don't think anyone means that in a bad way. I certainly don't. I can see where someone would say that.
What's it? Paul Hollywood.
There's a link in the chat room. Sarah's put a link in the chat.
Crap, Paul.
I'm thinking more McAfee.
Oh, I'll take that. That's all right. I'm a bit closer to that. You look a bit more McAfee.
That's the way I see it.
Wait till this show comes out in the Guatemalan iTunes.
Have they got him yet?
No, they've arrested him, haven't they? So there we go. There's no news in Apple, which is the joke we make every week.
How can you tell?
Tim. Tim went on Business Week and said, we're going to build Macs in the US. Woohoo! Not just assemble them, build them, mind. They're going to be there with chisels and hammers, drilling holes in the front of Mac Pros. One of the lines is definitely coming. Quick sweep then, which line is coming to the US?
Mac Pro.
You think it's Mac Pro because they've got the profit margins in that?
No, because they're the easiest to build.
Yeah.
Oh, easy, mate.
Well, if you're going to start an entirely new manufacturing site, whatever it may be, then it would totally make sense for it to be something that's the easy one.
Yeah.
And it's also the one they can charge the most for as well.
They get the kudos of built in the US, and they only have to actually make 7 of them every year.
I can't concentrate because Windrider in the chat room was put down with it. If McAfee's going to get a 30-day trial. Sorry.
That was pretty good.
Oh no, I'm gonna get off on one now, stop it. Right.
Nice job, Windrider, you've broken Ewing. This is why we can't have nice things.
So is there a subsidy going on here? As they got the tax holiday that they wanted to bring some of the funds back in from overseas, and is there a deal being done behind closed doors for investment and Department of Trade or something like that's been bunging a few mil around saying,
come sure.
Did Barack give them a kickback?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I didn't put
who
it that
knows, maybe.
I was more subtle than that, but yeah, okay, that's it.
Well, it breaks down the same way. I mean, a kickback, a tax abatement, a tax holiday, whatever you want to call it. It's the same thing. And yeah, I don't know. Maybe they didn't take the tax abatement in order to get him to switch off that BlackBerry.
You think it's giving him an iPhone 5 now?
Here's hoping.
He's got an iPhone 5 quicker than Carl Swagger's got his. Sorry, dude.
Hopefully his iPhone 5 doesn't show up like that one guy's iPad mini. You see the images of that thing?
No, what was this? I haven't seen this one.
No.
Some guy had been waiting, you know, months or weeks or whatever, his iPad mini, and it came in from FedEx, and the outer box was completely crushed in on the sides and the top, and he opened it up, and so was the mini. It was hourglass shaped. It was really nice.
Oh, poor dude.
I don't know what happened to that thing.
You can see going back to the Apple store with it saying it came like this, and they're like, yeah, sure. You dropped it. Come on. You sat on it. Come on.
Well, it was obviously not dropped because both sides were evenly pushed in, left and right. It was literally hourglass shaped.
The wife, like, sat, yeah. The wife sat on it.
Yeah. I forget where I saw that picture, but.
Like sands through the hourglass, these are the minis of our lives.
The minis of our lives? What does that mean?
Yeah, days of our lives. It's a soap opera in the States. Never mind.
Oh, right, okay.
It's funny to me. It's I watch it. I'm not proud.
You watch Days of Our Lives?
Yes, I do.
Okay. It's like Neighbours, I suppose. Anyone watch Neighbours anymore? Is it still on?
Neighbours, no, they moved out.
Ah, very good, very good, very good. So we don't really give a stuff about them building any product lines in the U.S. then.
Well, I think it's going to be assembled in the U.S. I mean, from what I heard,
he said manufactured, Foxconn, not just assembled. He made a specific point.
I'll
of that.
Say assembled because I think Foxconn will be giving them the hardware, and then they'll be putting it together there.
Well, they're already assembled though. If you look at Mac Pros, already come assembled in the U.S.
That's true.
Yeah,
well,
there you go.
There you go. Design.
Well, and some of the new iMacs as well. Some of them turned up with assembled in the US as well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That might be it then.
People started seeing that their iMac stopped saying assembled in someplace else and started saying assembled, you know, designed in Cupertino, assembled in someplace in the United States.
I was going to say the refurbished ones have been assembled in the U.S. So a lot of times if you get a refurbished one, it'll say assembled in the U.S. And I guess there's some very specific rules about what assembled means. It can, and specifically, it can't just mean that, you know, a bunch of pieces were screwed together. There has to be actually some significant manufacturing. So that label, either Apple, I saw a report somewhere explaining that label, if Apple's using it, they either are, if they're only just screwing parts together, they're not using it properly and they could get in trouble. If they are doing what they're supposed to be doing, then some significant sort of putting together or manufacturing of parts does need to be done here to get that label. Mm-hmm. So,
go on, Don, you're about to say you think it's pretty good.
No, I just think it's a great move on their part. I think it'll give them a lot of kudos, and it's a good way to. I mean, not that they need it, but you know, it's a good way to differentiate themselves between the competition as well. If they really go down the route, perhaps you know, in the next 12 months, and do more and more products in the US, it's a great marketing thing as well as it's a great way to separate themselves from the other PC products that are assembled in the Far East.
Chat room saying, let's face it, it's all just good PR. But Kelly, you're saying you disagree.
I do disagree I disagree that it's all PR. I think it's probably something that would be a smart thing of them to do. And I think it's something that, particularly with the amount of heat that Apple's taken over this, it may be something where, once again, we are seeing a rare moment where customer feedback is actually making a difference in the way Apple is doing things.
Mm.
And I think it would be... smart on their part to do, but I also think it'll be interesting to see if they can do it and continue with margins, because part of the reason that things aren't done here already, at least for us, is the expense of it, because paying an American person in an American factory an American wage is significantly more money than doing the same thing in China, which is how this all started. Last night here, on a show called Rock Center with Brian Williams, Tim Cook sat down and gave an interview. I didn't get to see the entire thing. I saw part of it. And the part that stuck with me when they were talking about manufacturing in the United States was that Tim Cook said it's also a matter of skills. Some of those skills have left the United States, and that's part of why they don't do any of it here, is because the people who the skills in order to do those sorts of things aren't here anymore. And I thought that was really interesting. That. Oh,
yeah.
I do.
Yeah, I think
yeah,
so.
Yeah. It's very true. We don't train people. Don't go to school. Mm-hmm. They don't train mm-hmm. necessarily for skilled, you know, hands-on labor kind of jobs. We started outsourcing all that stuff
right.
long time ago, and
with
it's
as fast as technology
devalued.
Evolves, that yeah. you know that turns it into a whole different thing. Even if there were still a reasonable number of technological manufacturing jobs here 5 years ago, you're not going to find anybody who has the kind of skill to put current iterations of those devices together today.
Well, and it's not so much that you won't find the skills, you won't find the volume of skilled workers is more the issue.
Yeah.
Right? Because we have those skilled laborers, but they're dwindling in terms of their numbers. And Apple, mm-hmm. to do all of the manufacturing that they do, needs large numbers. So I think that's why, you know, what you're going to see and what I'm worried about is, yes, this is a good PR move. It's a good move just in general for the U.S., but it's going to be a slow process of building up. And I think Apple recognizes that, which is why they're saying they're bringing one line. And it is probably going to be something that is a little bit simpler to manufacture in terms of, you know, the parts and components. It's got to be a slow build. And I think, you know, what Apple and probably the U.S. government is hoping for is that by Apple at least being a company and a high profile company making a start, that other companies are going to maybe jump on board, and then we can start to rebuild those skills and those workers. And you know, I've been a big proponent for bringing back sort of apprenticeship type programs and stuff like that we used to have way back in the day. But we just don't do that anymore. You know, everybody's told you have to go to college, you have to have, you know, a degree, and you have to go into business or into an office job. There is some philosophical thinking.
I really just don't hold with that. I can't believe that manufacturing has disappeared from Midwest America. I mean, my cousins still work in the car industry in the States. They're still macking out big pieces of hunky metal.
But it wasn't like it was in the 40s and 50s and earlier. You know, it's much smaller.
Or even in the early 90s when people sort of discovered that there was now this intersection of it's cheaper for me to make all the steel here and ship it to China and let someone there put everything together and then ship it back. When that became a viable intersection where it was cheaper for me to ship it and bring it back than it was for me to build it here, a lot of companies went that route. And I think that's a big piece of it. So
this is just like pure financial sense.
It's quite a bit. It has been dramatic, the amount of manufacturing that no longer happens in the United States.
Carl, you were making a point.
Oh, no, I'd never have a point to make. Really, I don't know. Maybe it's good PR. Maybe it's just good BS. I mean, I honestly don't know. I do know, though, it's patriotic and all that. Good on Apple. And God knows that the U.S. needs some good manufacturing jobs again, because it is true. I mean, they're just dwindling, and we're outsourcing everything. But at the end of the day, are you going to go into an Apple center and you're going to buy the Patriotic Pro at $10,000, or are you going to buy the Foxconn Pro at $5,000? That's the big question at the end of the day.
I mean, that was the interesting thing for me, was that the Nexus Q never got built, and that was supposedly an all-assembled, all-manufactured U.S. product. And with Foxconn announcing that they're going to set up a US operation as well, I can't see that there isn't subsidy coming in here. There isn't someone's dollar pushing that in. I said last night on the TNT show that $100 million, if you're talking about setting up a factory and tooling it up for manufacture and production, $100 million doesn't get you very much. There's got to be other dollar coming in from someone else, some from Foxconn, and I think there's an awful lot coming in from the US government. If not, then the money's coming in through the tax holiday to bring back part of that $100 billion that's sat in overseas banks. Surely.
Sure. I mean, the thing's going to be multifaceted. Apple's not just doing it out of the pure goodness of their heart. I think that's part of it. But, I mean, certainly they're going to still want to maintain their bottom line and their profitability as much as possible. And Kelly, what Kelly was saying earlier, though, is correct. I mean, they are going to probably have to eat into a little bit of their profit margin for those models that they're going to produce over here, because it is just the labor force is going to be more costly. So they're going to have to make up the differences someplace else, and they're going to look for every little place that they can do that. So some of it is going to be tax breaks, probably from the government. Some of it is going to be, you know, better deals with, I don't know if Foxconn's getting some breaks on, you know, other imports. I mean, there's lots of nuances to this that I'm sure that are going to come out over the next weeks and months and years. But, you know, just the fact that it's happening, I think, is overall a good thing.
Oh, yeah. The end result has got to be positive that there's Americans going to get jobs working for Apple, and Apple are an American firm.
Be interesting to see what happens in terms of where machines are built and reliability and things, I guess, because, you know, it takes a few years or whatever to get to the level of technical ability that they have got in the Far East with building these things, because they've been building them for ages now.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the reasons why the it's probably going to be the Mac Pro, which is the first one, because that's, you know, that's the least intricate product that they make, because it's all major components. It's also one they can sort of place a premium cost on as well, so the margins are quite high on that. So if it does cost them a bit more to make it, they can always put that cost onto the customer. But, you know, it's not like an iPhone where everything's, you know, miniaturized and they're doing everything by hand. At least there's probably some level of automation they can do with a Mac Pro, because it's, you know, well, assuming it's going to be a similar big beast to what it is now. But even if it's smaller, it's still, you know, a lot easier to put together than it is to put together an iPhone.
I mean, it's harder than you think. I mean, but for years and years, obviously, in Europe and and Britain, like Mercedes-Benz had a reputation for building cars that were absolutely bulletproof. And then suddenly everyone was like, well, Mercedes-Benz, they're made of, like, they fall apart. And the reason was that all the Mercedes-Benz that we got in the UK were suddenly being built in South Africa. And even a company like Mercedes just couldn't do anything about the quality of the cars.
Lots of comments in the chat room. Wired for Fight says, who's an American, says, we've got heavy manufacturing here still, airplanes, cars, etc. I don't see why we can't do it. They'll just let the foreigners pay for training of workers. Good PR or good BS is a show title. Well done. There's a surprising lack of automation. Most of the iPhone is put together by hand. That's echoed later on by Wired for Flight saying that he read on Bloomberg some time ago that it was cheaper to have Chinese workers build the electronics by hand than to build them with robotics and pay for the robotics. Outsourcing seems to apply across the board. Batwinch says in the UK it's cheaper for Young's, the food suppliers, to send the prawns to Asia to be shelled and then bring them back to the UK than to do it with British workers here on shore. And Sarah says, from an economics point of view, as the cost of living in developing countries increases, I think onshore will become much more of the norm again, because they want a better standard of living. I think you're going to get, if you brought over 100 Foxconn workers to set up the new plant, you're going to have 100 asylum seekers within the first 20 minutes, aren't you? Hello, welcome to the US. I want asylum.
Yeah, that's the, yeah.
It wouldn't surprise
me.
Yeah,
that's probably pretty true. Oh, no, that wouldn't surprise me at all. Although it is kind of funny, though. I just seen it. Maybe Foxconn's building the 21 inches IMAX, and the US is building the 27 inches because that date has been pushed to January.
So who's been down to Apple?
Well played.
I actually heard some information on that. The big challenge for Apple, I think, on the new IMAX has been that those displays, at least everything that I'm hearing, that even prior to the announcement, I had heard some rumblings that they were having some issues with that new fused display and those large display sizes. So manufacturing and yields on the displays have not been as high as I think they were hoping, which is slowing down release of those models.
Now, while we're talking of displays, and this is really ultra important at the moment, specifically in the Mac world and my Mac world, I want a new cinema display, a 27-inch one. I've saved up.
I do.
I've got my money. But I'm not buying it because...
No. I want you to buy it so that we can actually get the new cinema display and you can have the old one.
I want a thin one. When's it going to be a thin one? When are we going to get the new thin look like the iMac displays?
Really?
Go on. Go on, Kelly. What have I said? I'm sorry.
Until the Retina comes out.
You're not going to get a Retina one.
It'll be a long time. Do you remember how long the 30-inch display was out? That was out for yonks and yonks and yonks.
Two words, white wine. Go on. Come on then, Kelly. What's explain white wine to me.
That would be wine with an H, by the way, for people who aren't seeing the chat room. Really, like, that's your big concern? That giant, gorgeous acre of display, and you're worried about it being half an inch slimmer? I mean,
no.
Honestly.
No, I'm worried about me being bent over and buying the old crap while they shovel out the new stuff 1 month later. Because that's my standard Apple purchase. I buy a new MacBook Pro.
Buy one, they'll come out.
That's exactly it. That's my point. I don't want to. I always end up with the crap end of the stick.
Yeah, but it's people like you that we depend on to buy the old crap so we know when the new crap's coming out.
So you're saying I should buy it?
Yeah, please, so we can get the new one.
I'm getting no sympathy in the chat room either.
This is the same thing that people were doing when the iPad 4 came out and went, oh no, I cannot lord my cutting-edge iPad third generation superiority over people any longer. So what? If you buy that display and then they come out with the skinnier one, the one that you have is still beautiful. I know, because my last office job, I had the 27-inch display, and it is a gorgeous piece of hardware, and it is acres of screen real estate, and it is beautiful, 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 and it is no less beautiful just because there's another one out there.
Oh my God, Kelly, hold on.
I think that's the closest I'm ever. I think that's the closest I'm ever going to get to a slapped hand by Kelly Gamont.
Who's waiting on his iPhone 5?
Yeah.
Again, was that Kyle?
Do you remember the bit in Arthur?
So, well, think about poor Kyle when they announced the iPhone, 5S next month.
Yeah, in
he's
March,
getting his 5.
Yeah. No, do you remember the bit in Arthur where John Gielgud pulls the thing out of his cap and slaps his face with it and says, "You snivelling little shit." That's what's just happened to me. Miss Gamont has just pulled out. She's done my Alfred and pulled out and slapped my face.
Yeah, honest. You're king of the first world problems, you are.
Apparently, yeah, that's what Rinrider put in the chat room. Tone says, DHM can flatten it for me with his hammer.
Honestly,
all right, I'll go and buy one tomorrow.
You make one thing with a hammer. One thing. I'm more than just a hammer.
Oh, that was a priceless thing there, mate. It's a one of a kind. It was a unique item. It was honed by the tools of the gods.
Yeah. I had to use craft and delicateness of touch to make my fusion drive. There was no hammers there.
Now, Jimmy the Greek's making a good point here. He's saying that the refurbished 27-inch iMacs in the Apple store went down in price just recently. There's none in the UK store. I'm gutted.
Well, that's a sign. That's usually a sign that there's new ones coming, right? When the supply starts drying up.
Don't you we're just Christensen. You're already in enough hot water.
We're just waiting on you, Ewan. Go ahead. Get that credit card up.
Yeah, there's like a checklist of things that has to happen, and the last thing that has happened is, well, Rankin hadn't bought one.
Yep.
Can't let it out yet.
Is that what happens on the whether to buy or not buy website, you know, that counts the number of days since the last upgrade?
Yes.
Yeah, there's a Ewan factor in it.
Yeah.
Has Ewan bought one? No, right. Well, they're definitely coming out then. I've had two people who've said that they'll get me an educational discount with it. Thank you very much. That saves the price. If that's the case, then it was worth it.
Then you save 50 cents.
Yeah, that kind of slacking I normally pay 50 quid an hour for. The daily's gone. Where's that? I've clicked the wrong picture. The daily's gone.
It is?
The daily.
Really? I never knew it was there.
Rupert Murdoch's revolutionary paper. That's it on the iPad 1 there. His revolutionary paper, which was going to solve all your problems and be fine and dandy and look gorgeous, has sunk. It's gone. No one bought it because it was a piece of crap. Anyone bothered?
That's not even the half of it. The half of it was how much they were spending to run that thing, which was ridiculous.
It's huge. It was a whole newspaper set up by itself, wasn't it?
Yeah. They were burning through money like you wouldn't believe on it.
It was a digital publication.
There's no reason for it.
I mean,
sorry, Kelly.
No, that's totally. You're absolutely right. It really, what I had heard about what they were spending in order to keep things afloat was, it was $19.99, and they were a brand new .com. That seemed to be the model they were following.
I mean, I can't get over the at the moment the. I get the Metro newspaper on my iPad, and I looked through it, and I got this free. There's no advertising in it. How the hell are you making any money? And I guess they're making it from the paper copies that they're shoveling out on the tube every day. But, I mean, the model of... I mean, that was old-style model, wasn't it? I mean, there was a bit of advertising in it, quite a lot of advertising in it, and people were subscribing to it, and they weren't paying for it. But then again, Times Online seems to do very, very well. There's a lot of people I know are willing to pay the £15 a month for the paper. Why are they taking that and not taking the daily?
Well, the Times Online's readership is, from my experience with my clients, the Times Online's readership is very old. It's all the older people that have bought an iPad. It's one of the things that they know. They recognize the brand. They probably buy the newspaper. They trust the newspaper. And they come from a generation that was raised in the, oh, this is a valuable thing. I'm going to pay some money for it so I can continue to have the valuable thing. Whereas the people that were buying the daily come from the generation of, it's free. It's on the internet. So that's, I think it's completely cultural. The Times have got the audience that are used to and are prepared to pay actual British money.
Mm. I subscribe to the Times.
You subscribe to Times on your iPad, Will?
Yeah, I didn't like that very much.
Do you know what? I've spent ages setting up a six line and you haven't said a sodding word for 40 minutes.
Well, it was all American talk, wasn't it? About your manufacturing in America. Well, for ages, I did. I'd cut 25 minutes out of that if I was you.
Sarah Jane says, talking of the Times subscription, what about them bundling a $50 Nexus 7 with their latest subscription?
I'd sign up for that.
Hey? You got a free Nexus, or a 50 quid Nexus 7 if you sign up for the Times subscription. That's incredible. That's got to be complete and utter bull.
You know, just so don't give an iPod anymore when you subscribe to Audible. That used to be good.
They used to give you a free iPad. They used to give you a free iPod.
Yeah, I used to get the cheapy one, but it was a nice incentive. Because it's an Amazon company now, isn't it, I think?
Apparently, that story was in the show notes for last night's big show, and I never used it as a story. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm useless. Subscription's a few hundred quid. No, it's 15 quid a month, isn't it? Something like that. Go on.
Is it true then? You get a free Nexus?
Yes.
Subscribe.
Sarah's put a link in the chat room there, bbc.co.uk. Google, Nexus, and Amazon Kindle in new content deals. The UK Times newspaper is subsidising the cost of the Nexus as part of its digital editions bundle. And Amazon is launching an all you can eat media subscription targeted at children in the US.
There you go. I'm not buying the iPhone 5 or the iPhone 5S.
What are you waiting for? The iPhone 8?
I'm going to have what's the Android? The Galaxy
Note.
S3, is it?
Oh, the S3 looks gorgeous,
I saw one a couple of days ago. It's bloody lovely. Much nicer than the iPhone.
Oh, the screen is fantastic. I mean, it looks stunning, and if you play a movie on it, it's more than enough to watch.
It does run Android, remember.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing about that is, you know, because I was in a big debate about iPhone 5 or the Galaxy, and the Galaxy is already here. I picked it up. And I thought it felt like a piece of crap.
That's because you're bitter and twisted.
That's probably true, actually. It's plastic. It feels too big in the hand. It doesn't feel like a phone. I'll give you, the screen is gorgeous. I mean, that's what attracts you to it. But when you start having it in your hand, it just feels like it's just, I don't know.
I
didn't like the feel of it.
I got to say, I didn't find that the iPhone 5 felt a little bit light and a little bit plasticky to me when I held it. I didn't feel like it was solid phone.
I agree.
I don't think you're going to feel anything different, Carl.
It looks cheaper than the iPhone 5, I think.
Oh, behave.
I've got to think about every day, and I pick up bits of crap, and I can tell you it doesn't feel like a Galaxy anything.
So you don't think the iPhone 5... I don't think it's as light and flimsy and plasticky as the Galaxy S3 is, but having said that, if you hold a 4S and a 5, it feels significantly different. There's something about having cold touch of metal and glass on your end than warm plasticky things.
Yeah, but who cares? I mean, most of it will be put into a case anyway. I tell you, Apple really slipped up, I think, with the iPhone 5. It looks dated from the moment they released it. It really does. If they'd have released something like the Galaxy S3 and with all the lovely Apple touches, with the, you know, the nice chromey edge and all the quality building materials that they deployed, they would have been all right. But the new one's rubbish.
Burn him, heretic, heretic.
Whoa!
What is it that dates it? I'm curious. What
I mean, they just stretched it a little bit. It's the same blooming thing that we've seen really for the last 4 years, with just minor modifications. It's just stretched a little bit.
What
you're talking about the OS? You're talking about the OS, right?
Because it didn't change so much, and it still fits in my pocket, and I don't notice that much of a difference. As a matter of fact, I noticed more of a difference going backwards than forwards, which was an interesting phenomenon. So when I had my, you know, I started using the five, and I had to pick up someone's 4, and I was like, oh, this is different. But going forward, I didn't really notice much of a difference, which I like that the fact that that was the case.
Boring. It's boring. That it. Apple ruined it.
Boring.
You want to watch it, Will? Don's going to spit on your head, mate. He's right above you.
No, I know, Will.
What?
I know. I know you're not telling the truth. You're winding us all up. That's what you're doing, right?
Well, don't you agree, Don, to some extent, that if Apple had released something similar to the Galaxy S3, it would have been a super wow factor, whereas the sort of incremental upgrade that they've done from the 4 to the 5 is pathetic, really. What do you think?
No, well, that's just the way they do it, isn't it? They just do, you know, tiny incremental increases in performance and in design, and they hone it down, and they, you know, they just make it better, really. So it's
that's rubbish. You're talking rubbish.
No.
And look at the original iMac,
fight, and look at
where we are now. I mean, that's such an it's sort of from sort of the revolutionary product that was the original iMac, and then there was the ball stick.
Yep. But why change it radically when it's they can't make enough to sell them as it is? So it's, you know, they've actually hit on a nice form factor. It's a product that people really like and aspire to. And, you know, why change it radically? It would make no sense, surely.
It's all kicking off. We got you two at it. The chat room's at it. Kelly's barring in the chat room with Darren G. That's breaking out into a fight. Windrider's talking lesbian Linux. Which I don't know what that is. I haven't seen that flavour with that wench. And I'm just... We should do pay-per-view. Thank you, Tone. You're absolutely right.
Oh, my God.
Don King should promote this network. It's all kicking off.
Is this when we transition to porn on the iTunes store in Russia?
Well, no, that's the next story up, and that was far more interesting than anything we've just discussed. Was the porn-free iTunes, which is supposedly porn-free, the launch of iTunes in Russia was actually porn-full. It was all the porn sites that you could possibly imagine. God. I've been to a few to do research, you understand, nothing more.
God bless those Russians. God bless them.
Well, no, it's not. Is it Russians?
I love this story.
So is this what you normally do then as placeholders, just to make sure no one rips off your site or something?
I have never done that one, but I can fully understand how that could happen. You know, you're a web developer, you're plugging in links, and you just put in, you know, some placeholders, some X's, and then it goes live. And,
you're joking. Whoops. You put some X's in. Is that what you're saying?
No, I don't do that. But that's obviously what they did. I mean, they were putting in some placeholder links because they didn't have actual ones, and
they put in XXX.
Yeah, they put in, you know, here's the link HTTP, you know, because the store is it's just a web app, right? It's just a website, and all you have in iTunes is a window to into a website. So it's my understanding some of the links you'd click on and they were going to what were placeholder links. Why they chose to use X's, I have no idea. No. You know, I'll put stuff like, you know, somewebsite.com or something.
Christian seems very knowledgeable about this.
Darling, no, I wasn't looking at porn. I just put some X's into the thing as a placeholder, and this just came up. Oh, Sunday morning in the Christian household.
Google search. I don't know what happened.
No, darling, I just put X's in. It wasn't.
I know how privacy mode works, you know? I know what incognito is. Don't have to worry about that stuff.
Anyone else made that mistake? No, I didn't think so.
Not today.
Kelly caught Mr. Kelly with putting placeholders in the wrong place?
No, he doesn't do development, so no.
Oh, that was too good.
He doesn't ever have a reason to be like, oh, I just had a place I had to put in a website in, so I just used X's. And no, that's not how it works.
Okay. There we go. Bendy phones are coming.
Oh, we went from that they to bendy phones.
bendy phones are coming, apparently. Samsung have got a bendy phone.
Is that a euphemism?
A bendy phone. No!
Yeah.
I think the one on the left looks like it's wilted, not bended.
Yeah, it got but hot and just sort of fell over.
Just visit. Just those phones just have to go to the Russian iTunes store. That'll be fixed.
The thing they got...
Stiffen right up.
And Adam, you podcast
today. You spent a year coming on here being Mr. Dependable and straight, and now look at you. You'll be swearing next.
Let's have you an angry man bastard, Adam.
Yeah. All right, we've done that story then.
Yeah, it's done.
No, man. I mean, those flexible displays have been promised to us for forever, and until they can actually fold in half, who knows? But I think more importantly, what those are going to bring, I think, for some phones is going to be, they're talking about what unbreakable displays, which that would be a good thing. But again, they're plastic, not glass.
Well,
so.
those concept things there are just two pieces of plastic with glass on the front, or with Perspex on the front, and a piece of paper on the inside bending to look like a... They're not real.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I saw those at what's that big electronics show in Vegas? CES.
What gets me?
4 years ago, 5 years ago. I mean, they've been promising those things for forever.
Well, almost as long as flying cars.
Yeah.
Exactly. What gets me is someone has patented the bendy display, and they've never made one. It's just a concept. You can't patent that.
Well, because what people want is some sort of fold out display, right? That's the thing, is we're going to have this small laptop that we can suddenly fold out, and we've got a 20-inch screen, and you can't fold them that far yet. So, why do you want it? Why do you want a phone exactly like those prototypes that you're showing that, is just bends? And there's no practical application of that. What does that give you?
Apart from an embarrassing pocket bulge.
Exactly.
Yeah. Absolutely. The only thing I could see it being useful for is if it were in such a fashion that it could curve a little when you hold it to your head instead of being flat, because most people's heads aren't flat, but that's it. That's the only thing I see it being useful for.
They're useful in advertising. Panels, if you want to wrap it around some sort of pole or corner, building.
Oh, yeah. That would be like a much larger scale. That's not something you're going to put in your pocket.
Exactly.
And trust me,
Will. And that's where we've seen them mostly.
A week with a Galaxy S3, mate, and you want to wrap it around a pole or something.
Super fast.
Radical new design. Our new iPhone is a cylinder. You can just kind of rotate it.
What's that American children's program where they have a phone that, is it called?
Sesame Street?
Where they have a phone?
Not Vicky or something. They've all got these sort of weird shaped phones, and they're lovely. And that's what I'm saying, really. It's just Apple have been playing it so safe for so long now that I think they're just losing the edge. And the bendy phone might be a pipe dream, but at least it's something different, isn't it?
Yeah, it just sounds like a high-tech fruit roll-up.
Different for the sake of being different doesn't get you anywhere.
Pete in the chat.
I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that they've lost. All they're doing now is making it thinner and faster, and that's all they're doing. It's not good enough.
Okay. Well, what's wrong with a thinner and faster version of that sexy slab of tech? I mean, let's be honest.
Because it's not taking the design forward. It's not progressing. Apple
I feel like
have
every
always
single
been fantastic.
One has gone forward.
Well, here we go. Why have they just sacked, what's his name? The
Forced
car salesman.
Forstall.
Because Apple have gone to me and think, shit, we've lost the initiative. They've lost the initiative to Samsung, and that's the reason he's been sacked. And that's the reason why the Mr. Beautiful Johnny Ive is going to sort of take it forward. And
Forstall wasn't a hardware guy.
Yeah, but he's not anymore.
He interacted with the hardware, but it wasn't up to him what it looked like. That's all your beautiful Johnny Ive. If you think he's the patron saint of design, why are you trying to crucify Forstall?
Well, I haven't crucified him, Apple has.
It's awfully early for me to be throwing down with all of y'all today.
Say again, dude.
Kelly, are you due on? Blimey.
I think that means what I think it means, and I'm about to be more offended now.
Yeah, you are. Okay,
I
there
wasn't
you go.
Offended before. I was just standing.
You're the one starting fights, don't you? Throwing a fence around at me.
No, come on.
Gordon Bennett.
Let's get into this. I want to know what it is about design, because let's show me someone else who's doing something that is nice, not different, but different and cool, different and interesting, different and useful in a way that an iPhone is not useful. And I do not mean software. I mean hardware.
Samsung Galaxy S3. It's a much better design phone than the...
Well, now you say that, I've got to say, it looks nice and they look sexy and the screens are beautiful, but there's a lot of people that have got them down the rugby club that said they were gorgeous when they first had them, but now they've got problems with it not registering keystrokes and it falling over left, right and centre. So, and you know, there isn't necessarily the solidity of function there to back that up.
I'll tell you what, in some cases, Will, I know what he's saying here. He's got a point, and I've said it in the past. Yeah, the OS is the same that we've had since the beginning. I get that that's where Apple probably needs to move forward with. It needs to look a little bit different. But I've got to go to the other side, too. After playing and looking at so many Android phones and still going back to the iPhone, is that the iOS software, the operating system, is still proven, it's tested, it works. And like this Android fragment and stuff, that no matter how much they're still getting forward and how great Jelly Bean is and Cookie Crumble and God only knows what the hell else they're going to call it next, that it's still a better, more stable, more functional, better apps operating system. Now, I think, obviously, in the future, Apple's going to get down the road. We're going to get a different-looking operating system. All they got to do is just change the look of it. But for now, people are familiar with what it is. They know what it can do. So it is about speed. It is slightly about looks. And it's about what lies ahead in the future for Apple, I think, based on that. With Samsung, I feel like you're just buying a disposable product year after year.
I think there's a good point in there that competition drives innovation, and who's truly competing with Apple, particularly in things like the tablet market? Who's saying to Apple, look what we've done and yours isn't good enough anymore? Because it is. It is at the leading edge, and it's no one's pushing hard from behind. I think that's forgive me if I'm getting that wrong, but that's what I think you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think they've sort of taken a back seat with iOS, although they've brought new features in that they haven't radically changed the look and feel of it for, you know, since it came out, basically. Mm. And we were still looking at the main interface with the square icons. I mean, that is starting to feel a bit dated now. And I think that's, rather than, you know, as Will said, about Forstall being ousted because of the iPhone, sort of not the hardware side of it, I think it's the other side. It's actually the software that's gone a bit stale. And I think Johnny Ive coming in to sort of redesign elements of the software that will make a big difference on iOS.
But are we not confusing stale for consistency and user experience? And you got to weigh the value of that versus, you know, pushing stuff forward as well. I think Apple innovates in other ways, but you start messing with a lot of the core parts of iOS and OS X, and I think that's why we're seeing a lot of crossover and merging. And you start to really upset people. I mean, look what happens when you just do minor interface changes to certain things. You know, I particularly like the new iTunes 11, but it is a radical change. And they left, you know, the ability to turn the sidebar back on, because that will freak some people out. And I've already gotten emails from people that's like, oh, my God, you know, and that seems like a minor small thing. So, you know, Apple does iterate, but they sort of will stick on something for a while that's working to sort of get the customers and people, you know, in a place where I know that I can buy any iOS device or a Mac and I can transition between these things and I'm going to have that consistent experience. And that's what I think a lot of Android people are finding out, that, you know, like, I got this HTC phone this year and there's a better deal on the Samsung one. It's Android, and they think they're going from one to the next and it's going to be the seamless transition, and it's a radically different change. And that experience is, you know, in the long run, really frustrates customers. So Apple has to be careful. I mean, they've built this thing and they're sort of beholden to it a little bit. And I think we can confuse, well, they're not innovating with maybe if they really did radical innovation at this point, they're going to alienate a lot of people. So it's a tough balance. I wouldn't want to be in their position.
Adam Nader.
I would want to be. I would definitely want to be because I want that damn paycheck at the end of the day.
Well, yeah, so there's that part.
Let's look for a minute at someone who said, you know what we should really do is we should really swap out an interface. We should really change things up because people have gotten really used to what we have. It's stale. It's boring. It's not very good. We really need to do something different. And you know who did that? Windows. Windows 8.
Well,
yeah, that's,
I take my hat off to Windows for having the courage to do that. I mean, the Apple that I love is revolutionary. It's not this, you know, rather stale, boring. The iPod is an interesting example where virtually every year they totally reinvent the iPod. And why aren't they doing that with the other products? Why are they just doing this rather incremental?
I think everyone noticed that they were every year they were reinventing the iPod to no great effect.
Yeah. No, isn't it?
There's just like a churn of like, oh, it's big, it's fat, it's small, it's, and then everyone at the end of the day, everyone just shrugs their shoulders and goes, yeah, but it's all rubbish.
No, but it's there's a huge difference between the iPod and the iPhone, isn't there? I mean, the iPod is a single function device. It's a music player, so you know, standard controls. It can be any form factor they want. Whereas the iPhone, you know, the iPhone is invisible, really. You know, you run apps on the iPhone, and the iPhone becomes whatever the app is. So there are limitations to what they can do with the actual iPhone itself. But, you know, you're never going to see them do a radical difference because, as Adam said, people are used to the iPhone. And especially, don't forget, you know, it's 4 or 5 years old, isn't it, the iPhone? So they've had to implement it and then iterate on it to keep people familiar with the iPhone. Also, with Android, you've also got the problem of different manufacturers have different flavors of Android and put their own veneer on top of it as well, which confuses people, whereas Apple don't really have to do that.
Yeah, the other thing that, you know, Apple does, and they do it really well, is the whole form follows function thing too. So there has to be an excuse or a functional reason for Apple to do a design change. And I just haven't heard anybody make an argument as to, you know, what radical design change needs to come into play, at least from a hardware perspective, that serves a functional purpose. So that's when we see Apple make huge iterative changes. And the iPod, I think that's a great example. That's an exception to that, where they just sort of seem to play with that a lot. And I don't know, maybe that was because that was a mature product line and they felt safe doing that. Like, people are going to buy iPods no matter what we, you know, how we tweak it. And the Nano, you know, obviously the Nano line was the biggest example of that sort of playing around. Mm-hmm.
I think nobody does form. It's one of the biggest design cliches in the world. Form over function. It's like, it's kind of like the mantra of minimalism. And I don't think anybody does form over function. I think the most that anyone does is come up with a form that they really like and dream up some reason why it looks like that. I don't think
Apple does. I think Apple's always looking back to, if we make this change, if we move this thing here, we move that thing there, what's the reason for it? What's the benefit to our customers? What's the benefit to the user experience? And that's why, I mean, that's why I love Apple products, because I think they do think down to that detail. And I think they're one of the few, if only, companies that aren't just doing that lip service. So I agree. There's a lot of companies out there that say they're doing, you know, form follows function, but very few execute well on it.
Jimmy the Greek says iOS is only 6 years old and we're saying we're tired of it already.
I love it. I'm not tired of it.
It is functional. Yeah. I think the other thing as well is, if you look at
exactly like the old, back in the day when people used Macs only really for work, sort of before OS X came along, and it was all Photoshop, Quark Express, you know, in design studios. iOS's job is the same as the job that the Mac operating system used to be. It's to run this hardware and get the hell out of your way whilst what you're doing gets done as efficiently as possible.
Good. Will, does that put you in your place or what? I mean, that's Kelly's 3-0 at the moment, mate.
Well, did I do a good job for you, and did I spice it up for you a little bit?
It was superb, mate. Excellent. Fantastic. Well done. Thank you very much.
No problem. You moaned that I was being quiet, and there we are.
Yeah, you start a fight instead.
No, that's what we want.
Good. Yeah, we absolutely want that.
Tell you what, you know, it might put the Pacquiao pay-per-view to shame. Just download the podcast.
Absolutely. Yeah. Pay per view, Don King.
There's a load of rubbish as well.
I'll grow my hair longer and spike it up a bit more, and I'll be Don King. There we go. This podcast and all the others, these fights and all the others, are promoted by UK2.net. They've been promoting bouts on this network now for 3 years, and they're going to be here for another 2 years for guaranteed. They've signed up with us. You're buying absolutely shed loads of UK2 service. The bandwidth that we consume would cost us around 450 quid a month. And as far as UK2 are concerned, they're very happy with us in investment because you guys are covering that. And we pretty much cover our bandwidth costs, they said, in the stuff that we've been buying. So thank you ever so much to everyone who's bought UK2 product. They said the £1 domains thing was really successful. A lot of you bought that through our link. So please keep going. If you need anything for web, go to UK2 first and then just check out the prices. Remember, you're going to get discounts and free offers on a lot of it. When you get that, see what the prices are like with other people. I think you're going to find they're pretty competitive. So then buy it. All you've got to do is use the click through from our website so that they know that we sent you. And then there's offer codes from us and we get the kudos for sending you, and that's it. We don't get any money from them. We just get free bandwidth, and it's a lot of free bandwidth. So thank you ever so much to UK2. Please, please, please support them, because we'd be lost without them. They're fantastic. Right. It's that time. See if we can get through the last 15 minutes of the podcast without further bloodshed.
Are you ready to rumble?
In the blue corner. Fighting out of Liverpool, weighing 25 kilos, Don McAllister.
Is it? You're looking for a cool thingy?
Cool thing, bud, yeah.
All right, then. A nice quick one. Nice free iPad application called Zite. Z-I-T-E. Or Z-I-T-E for our American. And it's basically, it's a newspaper that you put together. It's one of these personalized reading applications. It's got loads of sections in there that you can choose from. You compile your own sort of newspaper. It gets refreshed every day. And it's really neat. And they've just brought out a brand new version. I've been using it for quite a while. They've just brought out a brand new version with some nice new smart features and some nice animations, and it's good. I like it. It's called Zite.
We had Carl Madden used to use that, I'm sure, and he swore by it.
It's great. Yeah, it's really good. So I've been using it for a good while, but they literally only a couple of days ago they brought out a brand new version, so I need to put it through its paces, but it looks good.
Did you say a price or free?
It's free.
It's free. I thought it was free, yeah. Excellent pick, sir. Excellent pick. Yeah, we like free. Adam, do you have a cool thing for us, mister?
Yeah. Has anybody picked Creatorverse?
No, I'd have remembered.
All right. So, Linden Labs, the folks, remember Second Life? Is that still around? I don't know. Mm. So, those folks have gone off and made a really cool app for iPad, and that's actually also on Android if you want to get it over there. But what it is it's sort of this sort of little physics kind of playground. So you're given a bunch of basic shapes and different little linkages and motors and things like that. And you can basically use it to create whatever you want. And then when you tap on an object, they give you all kinds of properties and different little widgets that you can adjust. So you can adjust things like air friction or how bouncy an object is or how fast it spins or how it rotates. And basically you just assemble these things together, and then you hit the play button and you sort of see what it does, and then you adjust it. So you can build all kinds of contraptions and little things, and it's sort of helps you learn. I'm terrible at physics and science, but it kind of helps you get some of the basic concepts of physics. And there's a whole social component, so you can go in and you can sort of share your creations, you can download other people's creations, and it's just a whole lot of fun. And and probably educational too. I wish I knew a little more about physics, because I could probably build cooler things with it. But it's $5, $4.99 US. I don't know how that translates. And available for the iPad. I think it works on the iPhone too. Yeah, it's a Plus app, but I would recommend it on the iPad. You have a little more space to play around with.
The reason I didn't talk over anything you said there was because I was buying it. Well, yeah, it's fantastic.
It's really cool. They have, you know, like little replicators, so you can have it start, you know, spawning off additional objects from one object that you have. And, you know, I built like a little car and ramps, and you can, you know, have those things jump and affect all kinds of different physics properties. So you can change the gravity. You know, it's got a million little widgets that you can play around with.
No, excellent. Very educational, I would have thought, as well, if you can mess with the physics of it. It's $4.99 if you want it in the US store, or it's £2.99 in the UK store. Excellent. Kelly, what have you got, Mrs.?
My pick, because Chatty Kelly is chatty, is Twitterific.
The new one out, isn't it? Five.
The new version.
Oh.
Now, I saw a tweet that said, download it and pull down to refresh and enjoy. What happens?
Yeah. So what you do, if I can do it on my camera. Oh, look, the queen. Okay. So you pull down and see the egg.
Yeah.
And then it hatches and then Ollie flies while you refresh. It is the cutest thing you've ever seen.
Oh.
Let's see if I can do it again. Okay. So, hey, look, Larry King. If I pull down really slow, you can watch him hatch there.
Right.
And then, yeah, it's super cute. It's fast. It's responsive. It has something. I've always been partial to Twitterific. I'm friends with the guys over at the Icon Factory. I think everything that they do is beautiful and fantastic, and I will always probably tell you to buy it. It's $2.99 US in the App Store right now. It's half price, intro sort of upgrade pricing from them. It's a universal app. You used to have to have two different applications for Twitterific. Now you only have to have one. The thing it does that I like the best that I've never seen another Twitter application do is like in mentions, because I use this all the time. In mentions, there are color indicators. So also as you're flipping through your tweets, you can see something is blue if it's a direct message and it's a shade of brown if it's a reply to you or if it mentions you. So if somebody replies to you directly, it's one color. And if somebody just happens to mention you as they're tweeting, it's a different color. So you can see when people are talking about you as opposed to when they're talking to you. And I think that's awesome. It's something that I use like 100 million times a day because I also do social media for Tua. And so this is what I use to keep track of all of that. It's really nice to see when somebody is just retweeting a story versus when they're actually saying, hey, Tua, can you tell me da 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 da. So that's fantastic. It's super fast. I really like the new layout. It's great. And what's really nice about Twitterific is it was the first client for the Mac. It was one of the first clients for Twitter at all. And it started on Mac OS. It came to iOS. When it first came to iOS, it was pretty revolutionary. It included a lot of things. As they've been developing this version, others have come out. And now they've sort of leapfrogged all of those again. I think it's fantastic. You can customize the view, which is another thing most Twitter clients don't give you. The font size, the font kind, what the spacing is like. You can have a dark theme or a light theme. It automatically flips to the dark theme during the night. It's awesome. I cannot say enough lovely things about it.
Get it while you can before Twitter pull the APIs entirely.
Yes, that too.
Mm.
Is it one of those that's a whole new version that you need to pay for, or is it
yes,
an update?
Yeah, Twitterific 5. It's a separate version. It's going to be it's a completely different thing, and that's why it's $2.99. It's because it's the only way anybody can give upgrade pricing in the store right now. I know.
I gave my sigh there was all about Apple not giving developers a way to get paid upgrades for their apps. It's ridiculous. It's getting out of control.
Agile Bits is having the same problem right now.
Mm-hmm. Jolly good. Mr. Green.
Well, I'm fed up with Adam in this podcast. Moaning at Apple, and there's another example, banging away about their rubbish products. And I'd like to say here and now how wonderful Apple is. Is that it, then?
Innovative.
Yeah. Yeah, innovative and revolutionary in every aspect.
Come on, Greeny, get on with it.
Sorry. Now, I've always loved London. My favourite city in the world, and I think it's wonderful. So, there's so much to do and explore and everything else. And when I used to live there as a younger man, being young still, thank you very much, I used to cycle around at the weekends, mainly because I didn't have any friends, and explore all the different elements of London. And I used to have like a map in my kitchen wall that I would trace out and sort of note historical parts to it and do bits of research, and just a fascinating city. So if you are like me and you love London and you're interested in the history and the development of London, there's a fantastic app called London, A City Through Time. It is amazing. It's huge. It takes up gigabytes of space on your iPad, but in some ways, that's a nice thing because you can be in the tube or wherever, you know, you haven't got a Wi-Fi signal, and you can still use the app and see videos and whatever you're interested in, Jack the Ripper, and you want to see the history of that, and, you know, it's just amazing. So London, a city through time. I can't remember how much it cost. I think it was about £6, I think. It's quite expensive.
$13.99 US, and in the UK store, it's £9.99, so it's not cheap, but like you say, it's full of stuff. I'm looking here at the... reviews, and it's got a lot of graphical interface here. There's a lot of pictures that they're showing content. There's some nice fine art in it, as well as historical photographs and stuff.
It's brilliant. There's even like fun little features. This is only one small thing, but there's a tube section to it. And so you're in the tube, and you tap on the tube station that you're currently going through or going under, and it'll tell you exactly what's going on above your head or below. Well, not exactly, but, you know, from a historical point of view, and explain it, and, you know, it'll say there was an abbey here once, or it's a really gets the imagination going, and gets both adults and children involved in the history of London. Good, isn't it?
I hate awesome. This podcast. It's cost me a sodding fortune today. Not to mention all the friends I've lost. Right, who's next? DHM, what have you got for a spell?
Mine's free.
Hey! We like that.
Sweet!
Good. It's called Timeline Eons. And it's basically, it's the entire history of the universe from the Big Bang to the Big Rip on a timeline on your iPhone or iPad that you can scroll happily along from the beginning of time to the end of time with loads of events. So you can go from the dinosaurs all the way up to wherever, basically, with little pictures that show you what's happening. So it's quite a nice, it's just like a history of the world app, and it, in one long timeline scrolling along. There's a paid for version, which is a bit expensive, for $5.99, which allows you to create your own timelines and personalize them with your own dates and things. But as a sort of little sort of guide to history, I didn't realize that 1.4 billion years, the star Gliese 148 or something will pass within one light year of our solar system, and that will be very bad for everyone that's left in 1.4 billion years' time.
What will it do to them?
It will disrupt the Oort cloud, sending comets and cometary fragments inwards into the solar system, resulting in another bombardment phase.
Ah. Okay, I thought it just might be that it would be a new Club 1830 location, but...
No, it's worse than that.
Club Med.
Yeah, it is worse than that.
Club Oort.
It's free.
Have you ever seen the... What's the name of the guy with the... he's fantastic. I think he's brilliant on TV with the... He's on Discovery. He's got white hair, a Japanese guy.
Michio Kuka, what's his name?
He begins with an M, definitely.
Yes, yeah. That's Michio something or other, isn't it?
And
yes.
He's fantastic. If you've seen his four-part series on Time,
yeah,
get it. It is just fantastic. And what DHM's done there about tracking forwards and backwards through time, he does a bit with his dining room table where he puts a picture of himself down, then he goes back to World War II and he places a picture down, then he goes back to the Egyptians and places a picture down. And he said if we were going back to the birth of our planet and our sun, he got in his car and he drove to the west coast of America to put down the picture for... It was brilliant. Really, really well done.
Wow.
And there was a bit...
Kaku is his name.
There's a guy in there where he says, you know, how time is different for people. So if you ask someone to count a minute, if they're older, they take longer than a minute to count a minute. And if they're younger than sort of 40 years of age, they count a minute too quickly. And he got this thing where the guy was being dropped, and he said they flashed a number at him, and the number was flashed so fast that he shouldn't be able to read it. But when he was falling, because of the adrenaline, he could read it. So time had changed for him.
What was his name, DHM?
Michio Kaku.
Yeah, the series is just called Time, but it's the most fantastic thing you've ever seen.
It is brilliant.
Shut up, Greeny.
It's kind of like a modern cosmos. If you ask an older person to count to a minute, they take more than a minute. If you ask a sufficiently young person to count to a minute, they get to 25, then go on Facebook.
Yeah, very good. Mr. Swagger, what do you have for us, pal? Very patient, thank you.
No, not a problem at all. I've got a, it's not a free one, but it's a cheapy one. It's called PicFrame. And for the longest time, I must be one of the idiots out there. I'd looked at pictures on, you know, like Instagram or when people upload pictures and they have like a picture here and another picture there and another. It's like, how the hell are they doing that? And I just went and I was like, oh, PicFrame. And there's a lot of other apps too, but this seemed to be the one that I thought, oh, it's all right. It was cheap. It looked like I could do what I needed to do. So PicFrame. You can put a lot of frames. I think you can do up to, I don't know. I know that there's 67 adjustable frames that you can do. I think up to 9 photos, I believe. I haven't done nine photos.
Can you output this afterwards to print it? Or
I'm not sure about the printing, but when you get it in there, then you can save the image as it is. You don't have to tweet it. So I suppose it's possible, yeah.
You could email it, and then print it out. It'll be interesting what the resolution is, but it does look, it looks great. Gee, I'm 69p down already.
I'll pile on one real quick.
No, I can't afford it.
It's free. It's free. It just went free. If you don't own it already, you probably already own this one, though. Snapseed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is a great photo editor. Was my actually a former employer of mine, Nick Software, made it. They got bought up by Google, and Google just updated it, added Google Plus, and made it free. So you don't have Snapseed yet, grab it, because I think it's one of the better image editors on iOS.
Good. Now I'm going to get my own back here, because my cool thing really is a cool thing, and you will have no money left by the time you finish perusing this site. It is the kind of site where you go there and it's full of cheap crap, but by the time you've bought everything on there, you've spent £4,000. It's brilliant. I'm going to tie it in loosely to Apple, because they do a macro lens kit to go onto your iPhone. So basically, it's a cardboard foldable little thing with a piece of glass that fits over the top, and you make this little macro lens up. It just slides on and off your iPhone, dead easy, and it's highly effective. It works brilliantly. The actual picture on the site's far better than the one that I'm showing here, but as a macro lens, it works fine, and it's £4.50 because it's made out of cardboard and it comes flat packed and you make it yourself. So there you go, £4.50 gone. But the problem is, there's cardboard sextants in there. There's cardboard moving models of the solar system. There's a tripod adapter. There's a kit for making a telescope out of a drain pipe that's £14. There's a kit for making Galileo's first telescope out of a product. There's a Newtonian telescope for £20. And they're all made out of cardboard. And they're absolutely fantastic. I've gone through this thing and I've filled the cart up with all the stuff that I wanted, and I spent £200.
All right, you've teased it enough. What's the site?
Is the site?
Astromediashop.co.uk. There you go.
Do they ship to the US?
I'm sure, for a price. It's a site made on iMac as well. iWeb as well.
Oh my god!
You know, one thing is guaranteed: when it's shipped to you, it's going to come in cardboard.
It's cardboard delivered in cardboard, so it should be pretty light as well.
There's a digital sundial.
There's just so much in there. astromediashop.co.uk/kits, and that's the. Let me stick it in the chat room. I forgot all about that.
So you want to make great stocking stuffers, you know?
It is incredible. Yeah, it's great for the kids. There's tons of stuff in here I'd buy for Ellis. How to look at solar film.
That is awesome.
Solar film filters, so you can look at the sun, that kind of stuff. So it's kind of going in with Adam's bit there. There's a camera obscura, a cardboard microscope, a cardboard kaleidoscope, a hand spectroscope, a prism kit. The prism kit looks fantastic. £3.90. Brilliant. I got that.
About to get a cardboard telescope for Christmas.
Yeah, just so he gets kudos for it. I got that from SpaceCab07 on Twitter, @SpaceCab07 on Twitter.
Thank you, SpaceCab.
There's an ocarina.
Andrew. It's a soprano ocarina, isn't it, or something?
Yeah.
As well. Really high pitch, so that'd be really annoying. Don't get that for Christmas Day. Don't get that for Christmas Day.
No, I'm getting that for my brother, you know, for his kids.
Yeah. No, yeah. Brother-in-law, or even better.
Thank you, Rankin. You just cost us a fortune.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Vengeance. This looks cool.
Vengeance is mine.
Where can we get a hold of you, Don?
You can find me over at screencastonline.com or on the Twitter @DonMcAllister.
Excellent. Thank you. Adam, where are you, mate?
I'm over at maccast.com. Also, check out We Have Communicators at whcpodcast.com. And I'm on Twitter at maccast.
Thanks, mate. Excellent shows. Keep coming. Kelly, where are you, Mrs.?
Mostly, you can find me on Twitter as Verso. And you can also find me hosting other podcasts like the Tua Topcast and occasionally on Angry Mac Bastards.
Excellent. Mr. Green?
BritishMac.com. And also, I'd like to say thank you to Stoneburn.com, who paid for my time on this.
What do they do?
They do cloud computing, mainly Google.
Right, yeah. Give them a
shout. That's why you want to buy the Android. The iOS, a lot of old rubbish.
DHM, where are you, pal?
Well, this week I've taken a leaf from Will's book of copying things like Dom's screencasts online, and you can find me at Pope Smoker of the Year.
Is that's a sexual practice we really don't want to get into. That's a 70s sex offence if you ever heard it.
Have you really got Pope Smoker of the Year?
Have you just bought Pope Smoker of the Year?
Smoker of the Year. It'll be all over the media next year. And Dr. Happy Mac.
Thank you very much. Kyle, where are you, buddy?
You can just find me on Twitter at Kyle Swagger, Swagger with 1G, or at kyleswagger.com.
And next week you will have iPhone in hand, sticky mitted.
I should have, hopefully. I've got mine reserved. Supposedly I'm supposed to have one. So hopefully next show. Maybe I'll do the unboxing on here.
And for those of you that like to know, people send me emails regularly saying, what does the tech look like in the office? And I'll send them a picture or something. But today I've taken a very special picture using my panorama facility on my iPhone of my desk. There you go. That's the one that I look at during the show with everything up on it and driving it all. But down the office in the cupboard, in the cupboard to the right here, you'll see where the desk is. It's a bit faint, I have to admit. But you've got the laptop that Will's on, then there's the desk. There's a laptop just further on there that's got Kyle on it, on my wife's laptop, and then there's my laptop on the desk over in the far end of the office that's running the one with DHM on. There you go. That was what it looked like today. Wow. Six lines running. We've never had so many lines running. We've never had so much angst and crap flying around and fights going on either. Won't be doing this again.
And you don't even have a Skype, sorry.
Carl, can you come back and do the bookings, please, mate? Because I make a total mess of the damn thing. Have a great week. Enjoy your Mac. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
You done yet?
No, we're never done.
Okay.
Just when your hard drive runs out, then.